That's what the media does. It softens you to ideas. It doesn't report anything.
Andrew Tate.
The American Empire is back. We're done with this crap.
People say lucky punch. There's no such thing as a lucky punch. It landed. The world is not a perfect place. And the fact that you don't have the mindset that you don't want to get out there and work is a you problem. Mm. If you're buying a house on a 20-year mortgage, how do you know what that area is going to be like in 20 years? There's small little beautiful villages in Kent now, which are being unloaded with unlimited illegal migrants.
Little bit of trolling, little bit of rage bait.
Have men ever been happy? I'm a trier. You're refusing to try. Your entire worldview is so alien and foreign to me, I can't even sit here. We don't speak the same language. You're telling me people are so desperate to cheat that you need a referee in a football game and they're not going to be desperate to cheat in an election? AI is coming. People are going to start losing their jobs.
So let's talk a little bit about property for a minute. Appreciate you coming down. Last time you came on, I was very fat, and now I'm slim. And
congratulations.
That's a big part of that is because of you.
Oh, bro, thank you. How did I inspire you to do that?
You know what's interesting? A lot of people would have said, oh, you're going to fat shame me, and you're going to... But actually, you know, you were really cool. Yeah. You were kind to me. You never even mentioned it. But one of the things you did say to me is you said, if you woke up in my body within 6-12 months, you'd have your body again.
Yeah.
And I thought that's so interesting because that's what I say to people about wealth.
Yep.
I say, if I woke up broke, I'd be rich again.
Yep.
So I thought, it's not like this is just where I am. It's a case of this is what I'm continuing to eat. So, you know, you inspired me. And then obviously, I don't know if you remember, but you was like WhatsApping me and telling me what to eat and black coffee and this, you know what I mean? Which was helpful. And I lost 6 stone, had a fight. I've had a bunch of fights now. Wow. Made hundreds of thousands of pounds fighting.
Wow!
And I want to give you your flowers on that, man. Because
thank you.
That's I feel a lot better for it. And
congratulations, sir.
Appreciate it. Had a bunch more kids.
Oh, congratulations! So you're doing all the right things. See, you meet me, I go to jail, and your life goes in the perfect trajectory. You're doing everything right.
I mean, you hurt my channel. You know, you hurt my channel quite a lot.
I have that effect.
A lot of bad stuff over the channel. But now it's really good to see you. And this is actually the third time that we've sat down and made content together. So I appreciate it, I respect it. Because every time you come on my channel spikes massively, which results in business opportunities, revenue for me.
Yep.
So I owe you, man, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir, thank you, that means a lot. And before we continue, I am actually very curious, weight loss-wise, what worked for you? What was the things that worked? What are the things that didn't work? Like, what did you work out? Because I feel like the reason weight loss or staying in shape or fitness is such a complicated subject is different things work for completely different people.
For me, biggest thing, fighting.
Yeah.
Having to get down to a weight for a cut.
Yeah, of course.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And what about like food? Is there any particular diet you were sticking to or anything, or you're just watching what you're eating and training?
Just training, chicken, meat, protein, vegetables, and black coffee.
So it's a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
So if someone's overweight, they chose to be overweight.
Yeah, of course.
If someone's broke, they chose to be broke.
Yeah, and I would have never have said that wasn't the case before.
Okay,
I would have...
But do we go a level deeper and say if someone's depressed, they choose to be depressed?
Maybe we do.
I that's what I would say. I'm trying to see how extreme you would get with it because I believe everything in the world is a choice.
Yeah.
And people will argue with me when I say that. They say, no, I didn't choose to feel this way. And I'll argue back that believing everything is a choice empowers you to make the change.
Mm.
Trying to say that everything is not a choice removes your power and your authority and your responsibility and your capabilities.
Yeah,
so when
people sit and say,
oh, no, I didn't choose this, well, then they can't choose to fix it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you accept that every single thing about you is a choice, then you get to choose to change it or not. So I think the most powerful thing you can do if you're a depressed or sad person is accept that you have chosen to be one and you can choose to stop being one.
Mm.
And that's the mindset which allows you to be most competitive in the world. So that's why I would say what I would say. I would say that all things are a choice.
Whether it's true or not, it's more empowering.
And then, okay, so you're right. So let's go deeper down the rabbit hole. What matters more? What is truth? Like, we can get very philosophical with this, but surely your mindset as a man, especially in the world today, should be the mindset which allows you to be most competitive and win.
Yeah.
Forget truth. If I believe the sky is green, but it doubles my net worth, I mean, is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's true. My net worth is doubled. You can say the sky is blue all day long. I'm saying it's green. My net worth is doubled because of it.
Mm.
I have the result, the tangible result of it. So what is truth? What even is true and false? All of history is a lie. Everything on the news is a lie. Everything they say about me is a lie. Like, what even is true and false? True and false is adopting the mindset or the strategies which allow you to compete and win. That's what's true.
Yeah.
It's like fighting, right? People say lucky punch. There's no such thing as a lucky punch. It landed and you threw it. That's a punch.
Yeah.
And that's a punch you've been training for. So I like what you said about it doesn't matter if it's true or not because it's empowering. I would argue that truth is empowerment. What is true? Well, for me, what is true is what allows me to feel most powerful. That's what's true to me.
Yeah.
When I look at scenarios or situations, I sit and say, well, option A makes me feel weak and helpless, and option B makes me feel powerful, so I believe B to be true.
Yeah, right.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And that's where my whole worldview comes from.
Would you get flack from that? Do people get upset with you saying that?
All the time.
Right.
But those are people who have a different version of objective reality, and their reality is not geared towards competitiveness like mine is. The primary objective of my thoughts and feelings and reality is to win.
Yeah.
The only reason my brain activates is to win. It's not to feel happy. It's not on some garbage, endless quest for what might be true. Mm. It's to win all of the time. And if you're going to be that way, you're going to be prepared to come up with certain thought patterns or certain recognitions of how the matrix operates, of how this simulation plays out, which are perhaps very unpopular with other people.
Mm.
But I want to win. So, I mean, I'll say it now because it's my most famous saying and it upsets everybody. I say women can't drive. Everyone loses their mind. I've been in a car with women and they've crashed it every time they're crashing or they can't park. I know I'm not supposed to say it, but that's what I've seen. I can't win if I die. So I don't let women drive me. That's the bottom line of it. And you'll sit there and people will say, oh, but that's not true. Look at the insurance data. I don't care about the insurance data. I don't care what you show me. I don't care what bullshit numbers you pull out from the matrix. I have seen it with my eyes. And I believe I stand a better chance of living if I drive myself.
Mm.
That's just how it is. So I optimize for competitiveness and I optimize for performance in all things, which is very unpopular with a lot of people. Most people don't optimize for that. Most people optimize for the worst thing possible. Do you know what it is? You know the worst possible mindset you can try and optimize your life for?
Go on.
Happiness. Happiness is for women and children. You're allowed to be happy as a woman and you're allowed to be happy as a kid. As a man, if you wake up and go, I want to be happy today, you're going to do unimportant, narcissistic, hedonistic garbage. You're either going to eat too much, drink too much, take drugs, sit around and play video games, smoke weed. You're not going to achieve anything if you want to be happy.
Mm.
It's ultimately temporary and you sit there and go, I want to be happy today. I want a happy day. You're not going to achieve anything. As a man, 99% of the time, you're going to be stressed or annoyed about something that's just happened, currently happening, or about to happen.
Mm.
That's life. We live constantly anxious. We have a lot of things to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And you either suffer the consequence of the stress it requires to be a somebody, or you suffer the consequence of having no stress because you're a fucking nobody and you work in Starbucks and then you're a no one.
Yeah.
There's no escape the eternal suffering of man. Women get to be happy. We build these huge empires so women can sit around and, you know, sit with the baby and enjoy their lives. And we're happy to give it to them because we're nice. But happiness is for women and children. So many men say to me, oh, how I don't feel happy. I'm like, so? You think I'm happy? 7 criminal convictions. I got nearly $1 billion. I'm still stressed. I got criminal convictions, work to do. I was up at 6 a.m. I got to go here. I got to go there. I've got to train. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. At what point do you think you've earned the right to wake up as a man and feel happy? Have men ever been happy? Name a period in human history where men were happy. Because if I think back, they were all dying in ditches somewhere.
I guess it depends how you define happiness. I'm happy when I'm doing something, when I'm building something. That's when I'm happy.
You're content.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're achieving something.
Like today.
Which is the masculine imperative. But yeah. This is effectively work,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you wake up and say, no, I don't want to work. I just want to be happy.
No, I'd be miserable. And everybody would be. In fact, I retired at 25 and was miserable after 2 months.
No, winners would be miserable. But losers love it. And that's why they lose.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Losers say all the time, losers have this problem with temporary motivation. A loser will come and say, I really want to change my life. I can't live like this anymore. And they'll mean what they say for about 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're happy to go back to being a loser again. You know, they really want it Monday to Friday, but on the weekend, they're happy to go back to how they were.
Yeah.
And that's why they never escape. They never get the terminal velocity required to break free from the atmosphere of mediocrity. So, yeah, I'm conditioned to win. Just like you said, you can't handle the idea of stagnation. You can't handle the idea of retirement. I'm the same. But I'm not going to lie and pretend that that mindset means I live stress-free. In fact, I would argue that I adopt endless stress all of the time because I'm looking for problems to solve because I'm looking for money to make. I'm looking to win.
Yeah.
So there's a competition. Everything I want, someone else wants. I have to beat them.
What did you think of the, I don't know if you've seen it, Adolescence? Because I watched Adolescence and it's interesting because You even got to mention it. I don't know if you knew that, yeah. But they actually mentioned
it by
name.
I don't watch PSYOP, garbage slop from The Matrix. Because Adolescence, actually, the only thing that upset me about Adolescence is a guy who I actually quite liked from Top Boy sold out to get the job, Asher D, with his very...
Why did he do that? Why do you reckon he did that?
Well, he has a very colorful criminal past. He's been convicted of, you know, firearms offenses and went to jail. I have no convictions in the world. So you'd like to think that he knows a little bit better about the world and how things work and that no men are actually perfect. And understanding that I haven't been convicted, a lot of this is media smear. I'm sure he's smart enough to know this. But he also needs to keep his job and needs to get acting jobs. This is why people sell their soul. I was offered to sell my soul. There's a famous story. I was offered $50 million in a sponsorship contract to shut up, and I didn't. So he needs the job, and he gets to be an adolescent. He gets to be paid. He has a family to feed.
I'm not even the one rated right now.
Well, yeah, I'm not even mad at the guy, but he did sell out. He did sell out. He sold me out. I don't know him, but he knows what he was saying about me is a lie, but he needs the money. That's his problem. That's his conscience. As for the show Adolescence, that's a psyop. And the reason it's a psyop is because masculinity is directly under attack because it's masculinity that's going to resist the enslavement that's coming for the United Kingdom and most of the Western world. Let's actually cut the bullshit for 5 seconds. People are dying in England. And the reason the streets are not safe for men or women in England, the reason there is stabbing in England, the reason there are watches being stolen in England, the reason London's a shithole is because of migration. That's the bottom line. So what do? They come and say, oh, look at this little white boy. This little white native English kid who's a problem because Andrew Tate highlights the real issue. They don't want to fix the issue. They want to assassinate the man who highlights the issue. That's what they want to do. They don't want to fix the symptoms of the disease. They want to kill the doctor for telling everyone there's a cancer. Mm. They want to get rid of me because I make it very clear. If you look up any of the people who have been stabbing and killing below the age of 15, they're either brown like me or black. I'm not racist. I'm brown. I'm saying, look at the skin color. They find the whitest kid in the world and put him on Adolescence and then blame me and his white father. This doesn't happen. This is a psyop. It is a deliberate psyop. Since when does a Netflix show get the prime minister and the parliament and the whole matrix system behind it trying to push it out there to everybody? Why? Because they're going to try and convince the people at home that the native people of the UK, the people who have a right to their land, the people whose grandfathers died in a ditch to protect that land, they're going to try and convince you that you are the problem while opening up the border to people from God knows where with no passports, from war zones, who turn up with criminal intent. And they're going to try and say they're not the problem, you are. We need more migration. They want to replace every single white British person with someone from God knows where. It's no longer England then. Mm. And to do this, this is part of it. If you mention these things, like I am doing right now, you will catch a criminal conviction. They will put you in jail. What I am saying now is a criminal case. And I know it. And they can't stand that I don't give a fuck. Add it to the list of criminal convictions. Put me back in jail. I don't care. Because they're trying to scare everyone into not pointing out the pertinently obvious. Everybody knows what I'm saying is true. Everybody knows that's a psyop. Asher D knew it was a fucking psyop. Everyone knows it's a psyop. But people just shut up to pay their bills and think, maybe it'll be okay in the end.
The acting was okay, but it was very, very boring. And I'm wondering, how is it number one trending on Netflix?
Because, make sense. Because The Matrix pushes these things to the top. It's like celebrities. None of these celebrities, and no one gives a shit about these people. Mm. Let me give an example. Michelle Obama just launched a podcast. I thought Michelle Obama was loved. Didn't you? Everyone loves Michelle Obama. She's Michelle Obama. She's great. She launches a podcast. Now Trump has won. The Matrix is not broken. It's cracked. It's damaged, but we haven't won. She launches a podcast on YouTube. No one watches it. She gets like 10,000 views. I thought Michelle Obama was loved. No, The Matrix pushes her to the front, pushes her to the top, tries to convince you she's loved. That's what they do. They look at things and they choose the narrative. If you say things they don't like me, they ban you. If you say things they do like, they push you to the top. If I was pro-transsexual and pro-immigration and all these crazy things, I'd be the most popular person in the world. They'd put me everywhere. So they deliberately rig the algorithm to try and convince everybody that this show is worth watching because there's a big problem in the UK. There's a huge problem in the UK with young white boys walking around with knives stabbing each other. I'm sure you've seen it. It's young white kids. It's all the young white kids in London stabbing each other. You've seen that, right?
I mean, I live in Beckenfield, so I don't see stabbing.
I'm half black, half white. This is just obvious. It's not about being racist. It's about sitting saying, okay, there is a problem with the black youth in London. Most black people will admit that.
Do you not think, though, that the movie or the series, a lot of people said it was just about making sure that you know what your kids are watching. Do you not think that's a good message about being careful what your kids watch? Would you agree there? Would you agree in part with adolescents?
Well, I'd agree that you should be careful what your kids are learning.
Yeah.
Which includes watching. But if you want to be a responsible parent and you want to be worried about what your children are digesting in the modern world, then sure, adolescents should now encourage you to go and complain at your local school for teaching them LGBT bullshit at the age of 8 and trying to sexualize children. That's all in the school you're sending them to. You want to worry about me? Forget me. If you really want to watch adolescents and sit and go, ah, I'm really concerned about my child's state of mind, go down to the school you send your kid to and learn what they're learning about sex. No 8-year-old needs to know about this shit. Mm. None. You only tell children an idea when the idea is too ridiculous for parents to believe, for adults to believe.
Yeah.
That's why you tell kids about Santa Claus. They don't know any better. They're deliberately aiming at the kids young because they're susceptible. Don't complain about me. Go complain at your local school. Then scroll YouTube. You think I'm the worst person on YouTube for saying what? Go to the gym, take responsibility for yourself, stick up for yourself, say what you really believe in, be accountable. I'm the worst person in the world. Scroll up and down YouTube. See all these fucking men putting on makeup and sexualizing kids and all this crazy shit. You're worried about me?
Nobody would sponsor this video because Andrew Tate's on it, so I decided to sponsor the video myself and talk about my new book, which also nobody would publish, because in the book, I expose the globalist elitists, such as the World Economic Forum. I have made tens and tens of millions of pounds myself. I sit on the tables. I've got friends who are billionaires. I know the people that own some of the banks. I know the people that own some of the institutions. So I know what's going to happen to the future of money and how to prepare for it. And I wrote a book. Nobody would publish the book. I published it myself. And it's called The Future of Money. You need to read this book. It will blow your mind. It will set you free. And ultimately, it will mean that you can predict what's going to happen so you know how to act now, how to build a business from scratch, how to buy properties, how to protect your assets, owning real assets, not fake assets. This entire book that I wrote myself, you can get right now, because you're watching this interview with Andrew Tate, I'm going to give it you as a gift completely for free. Click the link in the description. You can download it. I'll email it to you as an instant PDF, and it's completely for free. Do it now before it's too late. Offer will expire. Do it now. Back to the video.
Yeah. But I'm not saying I'm a saint either. But to try and sit and pretend that I'm the reason bad things happen is not only disingenuous, it is heinous and it is evil, and they're doing this on purpose because they fear my influence. Recently, they said, oh, there was a man who killed 4 people, and he listened to an Andrew Tate video. And they put it all in the papers. I'm going to have to sue the papers now. Did he listen to an Andrew Tate video? I don't know. Maybe. However, that's not what I talk about. I advocate for stoicism and mental control. I do not advocate for murdering people. One. Secondly, he also listened to a Taylor Swift song. Did we talk about that? He also drinks water. You know, he also visited France on holiday. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with me?
Yeah.
This person's had a whole life for 30 years and done unlimited things. You can tie him to anything. And they just say, oh, we found in his browser 6 years ago a video of Andrew making a joke about a car. He is why the Tate murderer. This is a setup. This is a psyop.
Yeah.
And the British government, I'll make it very clear. Great Britain, hello, you, yes. The British government is coming for me, trying their very best to put me in jail for 10 to 20 years for no reason. And they know it's no reason because it's full Stasi, full USSR lockdown communism. And they can't stand the fact that I highlight how corrupt they are. Let me make something very clear to you, because a lot of people at home, especially in England, don't understand why they're being replaced. Let me explain why they're being replaced. For everyone at home who's confused, why are they replacing all the white British people with all the other people? Let me tell you exactly why they're doing it. Keir Starmer's not the leader of anything. Keir Starmer's not the boss. He may be in charge of the government, but if he has an idea, if he has an implementation, he needs to go to other people. He has to fight against the House of Commons. He has to get it through the House of Lords. He can't decide with the whiff of his hand if somebody lives or dies. Mm. Now, the leader in Dubai is the leader. And the leader in Saudi is the leader. They're the real leader. They have absolute power. They're an absolute monarch. Our leaders don't have that. But they want to be an absolute monarch. They want to turn the UK into a third world nation so they get to be third world leaders, because third world leaders rule with absolute force, no accountability, and they can steal as much as they want. So they're trying to replace everybody who understands tax code, replace everybody who understands law, replace everybody who understands that Great Britain is more than just a line on a map. It's someone's land that someone died for. They want to replace all of it with random third worlders who have no vested interest in the country, so they can just steal as much as they want without ever getting in trouble. And anyone who highlights it, any of the foreigners which are particularly astute and pay enough attention to realize, well, they just get their heads chopped off because they now get to rule the third world nation, which the UK is going to become, like a third world leader does, with absolute force. That's all they want to do. They're tired of the rule of law. They're tired of this. They're tired of the fact they have to put me through a court case. They don't want me around. I don't like Andrew. I don't like what he says. Get rid of Andrew. Ah, he has to go to court. Yeah, they can set it up, and they will. They'll rig it. But they still have to put me through court. They have to... If I piss them off and they were a third world leader, they just put a bullet in my head. So get rid of him. Same day. Lock him in a room. Get rid of him. That's what they want to do. The UK population is being replaced. And that's why things like adolescence are actually so heinous. Let's analyze this. Imagine the depravity in the hearts of the leaders of a nation which are replacing the population with third worlders primarily so they can steal and plunder a once great empire. And as they do it, they convince the last remnants of native men that the problem is them. Mm. Not the new people, it's you. You people who grew up here, who fought for this place, who lived here, whose parents died for this place, whose uncles were in the mines, who have paid taxes, you're the problem. Not the immigrants who turn up and take all the free money. You are. Look at adolescents. Look at this 13-year-old boy who kills people. As we know, very recently in Southport, we know it wasn't a little white boy killing little girls. We know that. And they will still attempt to psyop us. And you know what breaks my heart the most? What breaks my heart the most is that the average English person is going to sit there and watch that shit and say, yeah, Andrew Tate's a misogynist. You know, you get to a point where some people just deserve to lose. I mean, I thought the UK was full of lions. Remember Three Lions on a Shirt? Where the fuck's the lion? Where
come
are
on,
they?
Come on, bro.
No, I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Where's the protests outside Parliament?
What would you do then?
There's no one's doing anything. So they're just sitting there waiting to fucking die, bro.
So if you're in the UK, like if you're me, for example, you don't want to be in the UK because you're going to get, you got all these allegations and stuff. But for the average person that's watching this in the UK, Great Britain, who's a business person, doing well, making money, do you stay and do you fight it or do you move to Dubai?
Well, you can't do it by yourself. And this is the point. When I'm talking about the lion inside of the UK, I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the general culture and spirit of resistance that the British used to have, which has been completely eroded. The average English man now has become a eunuch. An English man will walk outside his house and fight another English man over a fucking football team, but won't fight some foreigner who's in his fucking door. It's ridiculous.
There's a lot of killers still in the UK, though.
Of course
there are. There's a lot of killers.
No, but the point is, there has to be a cultural shift. Yeah. Forget color. Forget white, black, brown, whatever. Yeah. There has to be a cultural shift where the Muslims, the black people, the white people, everyone gets together and says, nah, we're tired of being fucking robbed. We're tired of all these people coming in. We're tired of this whole scam. Mm. And then it all ends. But it's an abusive relationship. It's like a woman who's with an abusive man. As long as she stays, he's going to abuse her. She has to stand up for herself at some point, or it never ends. And the people of the UK are not standing up for themselves.
Right.
And to answer your question, what would I do personally?
Yeah.
Well, I've made it clear what I would do. I've tried my very best to rally the troops. I've tried my very best to inspire people. Most of the people in the UK have betrayed me. Most people in the UK sit there and go, well, Andrew's a misogynist.
Do they really?
No, you know, it's funny. Because in person, I've never had a negative interaction with anyone ever. Everyone loves me.
Of course.
But on the internet, under this post, there'll be some idiot. Andrew Tate is accused. I'm accused by fucking Romanians.
Yes,
hello.
Idiot.
Romanians have accused me. You understand that means nothing. I've done my very best to rally and inspire the troops and destroyed my own life doing it. I didn't need to do this. I have money. I don't have to. I could just disappear and live on a boat. I did this and destroyed my own life in an attempt to rally the troops. So that's what I would do personally. I would fight, of course. I saw some guy, I don't know his name. He was on Twitter. Skinny little dipshit begging for the government to tax us more.
I was going to talk to you about him. Are you on about Gary Economics?
Must be him, yeah.
Is he like got skinhead?
Yeah. Skinny little dipshit.
Gary Stevenson.
Every revolution in history began with the assassination of the tax man, not sucking the tax man off, hoping he taxes you more. That's not a revolution.
Right.
That is garbage. And the fact that he thinks giving the UK government any more money when they do nothing but waste it. They have hundreds of billions for Ukraine. Hundreds of billions for Ukraine. Why? Because they launder it. So he thinks, ah, let's give the criminals who steal all the money more of our money and maybe it'll all work out because our kids need a future. Yeah. There's no future as long as you're dealing with crooks, sir.
Mm.
And if you think you could tax rich people, you're also an idiot.
Right.
Because let me tell you from a rich person, we leave. There is no rich person on the planet.
Or restructure things.
Or restructure things. That's right. I can restructure my life and still visit England and enjoy England while having my wealth elsewhere and not pay the taxes.
Yeah.
So he obviously doesn't know very much for an economics fucking whatever he's supposed to be.
Interesting though, because I actually think if you listen to a lot of what he
said, I think he works for the fucking Matrix. I think he's been paid. I think they've put him somewhere, they've put him in. Think about this. Let's analyze this. Like professionals. Let's be professionals.
Go on.
Labor come in.
Yeah.
They're going to put everyone's taxes up, fuck everyone over, remove the winter fuel allowance and wreck everybody. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, some skinny dipshit is all over the internet begging for higher taxes just before the higher taxes come. Is this a coincidence?
Mm.
Oops. Exactly the thing the government wants, this retard is screaming for, and we promote him all over the news. Oopsie doopsie, taxes go up. And there's going to be someone sitting there at home going, well, actually, Gary told me this is good to give more of my money away. And they're just going to steal it. They're just going to steal it all. Wow. This is a setup. He works for the Matrix. He's part of the propaganda machine.
I didn't see it like that. Here's what I thought about him. A lot of what he says is actually right. He talks about the rich and poor divide. All of the stuff that he says, I actually agree with.
Yep.
The wrong part where he's wrong is his solution, which is, let's just rely on the government to tax the rich. That's where he's wrong.
Well, the reason it's fucked is the government in the first place. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the person who created the problem to fix it?
Yeah.
The government's completely corrupt head to toe. And also, he fails to accept that the unfortunate reality of human nature is that it is a competence hierarchy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what economic system you design. It doesn't matter what political system you bestow upon a nation. I promise you I'll be richer than you. I promise. I don't care what game it is. I don't care how you change the rules. It doesn't matter. I'm going to win. Because I want to win. Some people don't want to win. And the people who don't want to win are not going to win.
Yeah.
So there, when he sits and says, oh, we need to balance everything out. You can't make, you cannot legislate everyone rich. You cannot make a loser have what a winner has because winners are busy winning.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line of it.
Right.
So when he talks about all this restructuring and this garbage, it doesn't change anything. Because I would still outperform everyone. I would still have a Bugatti and a Koenigsegg and a jet and a yacht and 25 houses. So what does it mean? The truth is, you need to instill a culture inside of young people that, and he says, not, and people say this, not everyone wants to be a hustler. Not everyone wants to have to go out there and grind. Yeah, but some people do. The world's not a perfect place. What you need to do is tell young people they stand a chance instead of what he's doing, which is convincing they stand no chance. Tell them they stand a chance. Tell them to work as hard as possible and find a way to make it out. That's what I teach at university.com inside of my school. I say, listen, it's going to be hard, but you can do it.
Right.
He says, no, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Which is going to keep everyone in poverty. And
it's like what you said at the beginning of the interview about the fat thing.
It's a choice. It's a choice.
Yeah. If you accept that I'm poor because it's my fault, then it's going to empower you to get rich.
Absolutely.
If you blame someone else, let's wait for the government.
So which mindset gives you a better chance of becoming rich? Even if, this is the thing I said about true and false, even if it is true that you are poor because of the government, and even if it is not your own fault, you believing it is your fault allows you to be more powerful and more competitive. So why would you accept the truth that it's the government when you can accept the truth that it's you that allows you to win?
Yeah.
And then when you're driving a Ferrari, how can you say your mindset wasn't true? Because it has performed.
Yeah.
Truth is performance.
Yeah.
Truth is result. So anyway, this dipshit anyway is just sitting there on the TV begging for us to give more and more money to fucking thieves. And he's convincing people who don't want to work very hard that he's right. Because I've seen a couple comments and they're like, yeah, well, not everyone has the mindset where they want to grind. Some of us just want a comfortable job and to see our kids. That's great. But let me make something clear to you. The world is not a perfect place. And the fact that you don't have the mindset that you don't want to get out there and work is a you problem. Mm. Because there are people who do have that mindset, and they're going to beat you no matter what system you implement. No yeah. matter what you do, they're going to win because they want to win, and you don't.
Yeah.
What do you expect the government to do about that fact? That some people are hardworking, industrious, perspicacious, indefatigable, and they're going to do anything it takes to pull it off, and some people don't want to. What do you expect the government to do besides convince all of the hard workers, which, by the way, keep the entire country functioning, to leave and go somewhere else? Mm. You can't legislate the fact that some people are better than others. Sorry, bottom line, you can't legislate that. Yeah. Some people are just better at working than other people.
Yeah.
That's how it is. You're going to get exactly what you deserve in this life. Yeah. So I agree. There are some people who go, not all of us want to be hustlers. Not all of us want to be entrepreneurs. Some of us just want a comfortable life. That's fine. Not everyone's a murderer, but some people are. Welcome to Earth. Mm. What do you want to do? Sit here and say, I should be able to walk around outside and wear a diamond watch with $10 million in cash and no one should rob me. Yeah, sure. You're right. They shouldn't, but they will.
Yeah.
And you're right. You shouldn't have to work your ass off to pull it off, but you do.
Were you serious about running for Prime Minister of the UK?
I'm the only person who can save it. Farage is not strong enough. No way. He's not.
Have you met him?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to insult the guy, even though he's thrown me under the bus endless times. But he's the best option we've got. Yes.
Yeah.
Is he Trump? Fuck no. He's nowhere near Trump. Mm. He's too soft. He's afraid of the media. He's careful with his words. If they pressure him, he buckles. He's too soft. He's just another one of the establishment boomers. We need a... Listen, the UK is now at a point where the government has effectively lost the monopoly on violence, effectively.
Yeah.
The country outside of the city of London is as poor as an Eastern European nation. Their prospects for the future are bleak. We manufacture nothing. National pride is at an all-time low. Hegemony is at an all-time low. Drug use is through the roof. Crime, through the roof. Healthcare, all-time low. The country is over. And we're at a point now where some kind of desperate move must be made when you still have chips left. You're like in a poker game. Do you play poker?
Yeah.
Okay, you play poker. You're short stack.
Yeah.
Everyone else has chips. You have king 10. It's not great, but you're about to get bled out on blinds. You got king 10. You got a little bit left. You just go all in. You have to try.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you carry on, you're just going to bleed blinds until the point where you don't even have enough to win anymore.
Right.
And that's where we are with the UK. The whole thing's a mess. The UK is on a losing path. I'll ask. Name a single metric that the UK has improved in since 2005.
Samuel Lee's bank.
Oh, you have a bank?
I can't call it a bank because of FCR, but I did set up, I put £11 million of my own money to fund people's properties, startups.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
Are you finding you're getting more students now than ever? Less? What's going on with...
Yeah, so the school's doing fantastically. The 2.0 version launches soon, which includes a bank account, and we're partnering up with a very well-known company. I won't say, but
What would that do then? So if I'm a customer, how will that bank account help me?
It just allows you to have crypto banking anywhere in the world. So if you're a student and you're in Peru or you're in Nigeria or you're in England, whatever it is,
you
have USDT in your account and you'll be able to send that USDT and it directly arrive in any Swift account, any normal bank account in the world.
When I'm listening to you sometimes on Twitter, I know we know each other personally and we speak, but sometimes I don't know whether you're 100% serious about things because I know you joke and I know you also like to piss people off.
No, I mean...
Someone said to me, they said, Andrew, actually, he's like a chameleon. He'll say he's a Muslim, he'll say he's a Christian, whatever. And I'm like, he's the opposite of a chameleon. He'll deliberately say things to piss people off.
You know what's funny? Because I say things, and they say, did you mean that? And I'm like, well, yes and no.
You're happy to be misunderstood, though.
I'm, of course, because that my ideas are complicated and they're layered. The whole point of me talking is to make people think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at something I just said. I said that revolutions happen with the assassination of a tax man, not sucking him off, begging to give him more money.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say that, and then I'll go on a rant, and people will just, they'll just go over their heads. They'll just hear the words, they won't think about it. But now they actually stop and think, okay, so the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, you know, they'll actually start to think about World War I.
Yeah.
It was the, how were the banks involved in these things? Who was actually getting rich from these things?
Yeah.
Who were we fighting against? Like, anyone with a brain will listen to me and understand why I talk how I talk. Anyone without a brain will sit there and go, he said he's going to kill the tax man. Because they're fucking cards. And I've done my very best to dumb myself down for the general population. But unfortunately, a lot of them are beyond saving.
Mm.
One of the unfortunate consequences of my current legal troubles are it's forced me to lose a lot of faith in humanity once again. Because before COVID, I had some faith in humanity. But if you would have told me before COVID what they were going to do to us during COVID, I said, no way. No way would we believe this shit and put up with this crap. And they did it for 4 long years. I lost faith in people. I was like, people are idiots. Yeah. But then COVID ended and we started to recover. And I was like, maybe people have learned the media lies. Maybe they understand now that the primary objective of the media is to psychologically prepare people for what's about to happen. It's not to tell you what's happened.
Right.
It's to prepare your mind for right. what's about to happen. Let me give you a very simple example.
Well, Gary Stevenson.
Gary Stevenson. High taxes are good for you. Let's put up the taxes. It's going to make the country rich again. Your kids are going to have a future. High taxes. He's taking a dildo somewhere in the back room because they got fucking blackmail on him so he never tells the truth. He takes the dildo and the money. He's telling you to give your money away. And then guess what's going to happen? Taxes are going to go up. I'll tell you the most easiest and simple example of this that I identified in modern times. Remember when P. Diddy beat that girl up in the hotel?
Yeah.
And that video was everywhere?
Yeah.
When that video came out, I said to Tristan, they're going to arrest P. Diddy. He goes, why? I said, that video is from 10 years ago. They were sitting on that video in the Matrix archives for 10 long years. It never saw the light of day. One day, it's everywhere. And everyone's saying, P. Diddy's a piece of shit. P. Diddy's a piece of shit. 6 days later, jail. They prepare your mind for what they want you to accept. Same with me. Andrew Tate's a terrible, bad person. Andrew Tate's terrible. Why did they all of a sudden start printing that I'm such a bad person and I get arrested a week later? Yeah. So that people weren't like, why the fuck are you arresting this guy?
Right.
They want everyone to be softened to the idea. That's what the media does. It softens you to ideas. It doesn't report anything. So the reason I've lost faith is because the media, think of how it softened us to ideas during COVID. They don't just say one day you're locked in your house because everyone will say, fuck no. They say, we might have to lock you in your house.
Yeah.
We're discussing maybe locking you in your house. If we lock you in your house, it's only going to be for 2 weeks. We're going to have an emergency sit down with the Cobra Summit and we're going to discuss maybe locking you in your house. And they say locking you in your house every 5 seconds for about 3 weeks. So by the time the idea comes around, your mind's used to it. You're like, oh yeah, they've been talking about this. This is not a shock. It's not a surprise. They've been saying they might lock me in my house. Doo, doo, doo. NHS. Like a fucking retard. While everyone on Downing Street are partying, by the way, you didn't see your grandma die, but they were all fucking drinking on Downing Street. Dipshit. And these same people are saying I'm the fucking problem. And this is why my faith in humanity has been destroyed.
Yeah.
Because there's people who sit there and go, Andrew Tate's accused. Didn't you see? Didn't you see the BBC liars report that the Romanians said, liars, that Andrew Tate did something. And they're sitting there going, oh, well, maybe I believe Andrew Tate's bad. You're just fucking born to lose at this point. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, bro.
You're a fucking idiot.
I think what you stand for and what you teach in my mind is one thing is critical thinking. It's just thinking.
Of course.
Because people don't do, even when they watch your videos. If they're watching your videos, people say, oh, but you interviewed Andrew, do you agree with everything he says? I'm like, I don't agree with everything I said over the last 10 years.
Of course. Of course.
Right? So just when you're watching something, think, be a critical thinker. If it's in the media, don't just blindly. And also, when people say things like they said about you, this guy killed someone after watching an Andrew Tate video. And that was the BBC.
Yep. No, you know what we should talk about? We should talk about the number of fucking pedos that work for the BBC. Why don't we talk about that?
Right.
Why don't we talk about Hugh Edwards sending his ass to fucking little boys? When the BBC run up to me in Romania and they're like, oh, do you have a comment? I'm like, tell me about Hugh Edwards. You're a fucking nobody.
Yeah, I saw
you think
that.
You're a reporter, you're a nobody. You don't have a badge. I tell the police to fuck off. You think I want to tell the BBC to fuck off? You're fucking clowns. Yeah. No one gives a shit about what you say anymore. Anyone with a brain anyway.
Critical thinking, personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Being strong, taking personal responsibility for your finances, for your health.
Absolutely.
That's the majority. When I see your videos, that's 90% of it. A little bit of trolling, a little bit of rage bait, a little bit of fine.
Kind of keep it interesting.
Yeah, you know, but generally speaking, I think that's the message.
But this goes back into what we were saying earlier, right? This is why I'm so happy for there to be losers. Because for there to be a winner, there has to be a loser. The reason it's so easy to win in the world today is because the majority of people are perfectly prepared to lose.
Yeah.
You just described, you have to wake up and you have to give a shit. You have to wake up and go, you know what? I'm responsible for my health, and I'm responsible for my finances, and I'm responsible for my family, and I'm responsible for the decisions I make, and I'm responsible for my work ethic, and I'm responsible for my motivation, yeah. and I'm gonna win.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do to be monumentally wealthy. Yeah. And the reason it is so fucking easy is because most people can't do that. If everyone could do that, then to win would be hard. Mm. So I would hate for all the losers to start being winners, because then it's hard for winners yeah. to win.
Yeah.
And I still want to win against the winners.
Yeah.
But luckily, God has put us in this version of the simulation where it is so brutally easy to surpass everyone around us.
Yeah.
I look at people and just go, you haven't even fucking tried. It's like a race. And the gun goes off, and I start running as fast as I can. And I turn around, and no one's even moved.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, all right, well, I'll jog then. And, yeah. I'm nearly done, and no one's even moved. Then I start walking. Then I just lay down and just have a rest. And I look at the back of the finish line, the start line, and everyone's still standing there.
Yeah.
I don't feel like running. I'm not motivated. I'm stressed. I'm depressed. Gary said the government's going to fix it. Like, they're all just standing around the fucking start line.
Yeah.
And I'm right there at the finish line. And they're telling me like, oh, you're a bad person because you have money. I just gave a fuck about my own life.
Yeah.
Like, I just cared. How there are people waking up each morning and not giving a shit about their own life.
Yeah.
Who do you expect to wake up and give a shit if you don't? You think Gary or fucking Keir or even you or me, do you think any of us wake up and go, ah, John, I really need to get John a Ferrari. I really need to get John a Ferrari and a hot bitch and a nice big house. Today I'm gonna focus on John. No, we don't give a fuck. We'll help you if you're here to help, if you're here to be helped.
Now you care, you care.
No,
you care about John.
No, no, the point is, if John cares about himself,
then you'll be able to help
him. Then I'll help him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if John doesn't care about himself, I don't care about John.
Last interview we did, we had about 7 million views on that interview, and you even said, look, go down to my free newsletter.
Yep.
Do this, do that.
Absolutely.
How many of the 7 million people that watched the video would have done it? A percentage, fine. Yep. But the percentage that won't even... People message me, I'll be in London running an event for £1.
Yep.
And I'll say, come meet me. Oh, but I live in Bedford. It's a bit far. Okay. Like,
well, then lose. Yeah. Then lose. This is my point.
You could say to me, Samuel, come meet me in Dubai. Even if I wasn't in Dubai. Because it happens we're in Dubai at the same time. I'll be like, man, I'll come down. I'll fly down, meet me. Right. It's no big deal. You just got to do what you got to do.
People don't give a shit. And then they expect someone else to give a shit more than they do. And this is the point I was making about John. If John, if you don't care about your own life, no one's going to ever care about your own life more than you do. You're just going to perpetually lose and perma-fail.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to do. You're going to perma-fail.
Yeah.
And it's not my job to drag you up from the gutter. Like you said, free newsletter, fantastic. That still exists.
There we go.
CobraTake.com. You can sign up to the newsletter for free. 10% of people watching this are going to take action and sign up.
Less than that.
90% are going to sit there and go, I want to be rich and not even bother to type 8 keys on a keyboard.
Some people will have watched the first interview and they didn't do it. And now the second interview, they're still here.
And they won't
still
do it. Doing it. You know, this is another thing that's so incredible about the internet. And we'll tie it into your business as well. About the internet and about computers and these things. The dream, the primary objective of financial freedom isn't Lambos and yachts and these things. It's to not have constant anxiety, stress, and worry and complaints about health or having children or your mother needs you or your car breaking down. It's just knowing that all of life's little problems can be fixed because you have money, because you can pay someone else to fix them.
Yeah.
To achieve this dream, men in the 1800s would get into wagons and cross the uninhabited terrain or the unexplored terrain of the United States, risk murder or kidnap by the Native Americans, risk malaria or typhoid, and they'd spend 6 weeks traveling from the east of America to go all the way out west. And if they made it alive, they'd buy a shovel and stand in the desert heat all day long, digging in the sand for little pieces of gold.
Yeah.
The gold rush, people lost their lives for a chance at financial freedom. And nowadays you say to someone, you haven't got to do that. You haven't got to go die in a trench. You don't have to take a 6-week journey across unexplored terrain and risk your life. You haven't got to do that. You know what you have to do? You have to type on a keyboard. You can be rich if you type on a keyboard.
Yeah.
Go to CobraTake.com, sign up for the newsletter, type on a keyboard. They're going to go, yeah, later. How the fuck do you help these people?
Yeah.
What can I do? What words can I say?
Yeah.
And then they're going to sit there and go, oh yeah, the government's going to save me. The government is never going to save a fucking loser like you. You're a fucking loser. You deserve to lose. I don't feel sorry for you at all. Because when I had nothing, I'd do anything it fucking took.
Yeah.
If you told me I had to only type on a keyboard, I would have typed on that keyboard nonstop for fucking 72 hours,
yeah.
Let alone 8 strokes. Most people who are losing
deserve to lose.
Yeah, and that's just the first hurdle. They can't do the first hurdle. They can't go down to a program. They can't go on a website.
For a pound.
Yeah.
They can't come to your program for a pound.
Andrew Tate says it himself. If you won't spend £1 to come and spend a day with someone for a pound who's made tens and tens of millions of pounds from scratch, then you don't deserve to be rich. So I'm giving you a challenge right now. I am giving a day up of my time, and I'm inviting you to come and spend a full day with me for £1. And if you don't live anywhere near me, because I live in the UK, so I'm going to be doing multiple dates, I'm going to be touring across the UK, you can tune in over Zoom and do the virtual version. So there's absolutely no excuses. I'm going to be showing you how to make money from scratch, how to invest, how to protect your assets, and ultimately predict what's going to happen in the future, prepare for it, and get cash right now. You need to be making fast cash right now. That's what I'm going to be showing you all day. And guess what? It's not thousands of pounds. It's £1. Just to show you've got a tiny bit of skin in the game. SamuelLeeds.com. Get your £1 tickets. Link in bio. There is no excuses. Wherever you are in the world, come or tune in virtually. I'll see you there. Back to the video.
How are they going to be able to get a deal?
Absolutely. And this is the point. So I've reached the level now, and I don't want to be pessimistic, but you get to a point where you start to realize after a while, you look around you and go, people get what they deserve to some degree. There is some form of cosmic karmic justice.
Yeah.
When I meet the kids and people I went to school with who are the same age as me from the same terrible background I'm from, and they have these same shit lives, I refuse to believe that their own decisions didn't keep them there.
Yeah.
You're in the same town, in the same area, smoking weed, with no fucking money. We went to the same school. I'm one of the best, most known people on the planet, yeah, with hundreds of millions. You have fuck all. You cannot sit here and tell me that your own decisions had no part to play in this.
Yeah.
Of course it did.
Well, this is what I said to people when I first interviewed you. I said, even if you don't like Tate, the guy's worth millions.
No.
Yeah, listen.
Hate never comes from above. Hate comes from below.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, there's going to be a bunch of people who may say, oh, I don't like Tate. That's fine. When you become a cultural phenomenon, when you become the most discussed person in every classroom and all around the world, when you get attacked by the Matrix and thrown in jail and you're the subject of conversations in Parliament, when you've achieved a fraction of what I've achieved, then you can sit there and start to have an opinion. Because for now, you're an anon account on the internet.
Yeah.
So fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, these people don't matter.
No.
And you know what these people would do if they saw me in person? Beg for a photo.
Right.
Because they've done it. I have seen people beg me for a photo, post the photo, and then someone sent to me, look at this guy, he posted a photo with you, and look what he said 3 months ago saying you're a bad person.
Yeah.
They don't give a, they'll just fucking type shit.
100%.
They're clowns.
Yeah, 100%.
They're clowns. Hate never comes from above. Everyone I meet who's famous and successful, everyone I meet who's doing something with their lives, cool.
Yeah.
There's always just some loser, some bitter idiot in their house.
Where do you get your counsel and your advice and guidance and stuff from? Who do you go to, you know, if you need some help with something?
Well, that's a good question, but I think that wisdom in general comes from the brutal feedback of life.
Yeah.
I think that's, when we talked about self-accountability, if you have true actual self-accountability, if you do not need someone to keep that one part of your psyche functioning,
yeah,
if that one part of your psyche is active, then it's like an AI learning machine.
For you though, it's different because you've got to where you got to, right? You're at the top. So people aren't going to be able to relate to a lot of what you're dealing with the media, the press.
Yeah.
It's difficult to really get advice. Whereas when you're starting out,
yeah,
it's very easy to find someone that's 6-12 months ahead.
That's true.
So where you're at, it's a bit difficult to find. That's why I was interested.
That's true, but there is still going to be some common themes. Like, I believe there are some common themes of life that I have identified. Like I said, an AI learning machine. An AI learning machine, you give it a set of parameters, and then you set it off to learn, and then it learns by itself. And this is how it becomes smart, by sticking within the parameters. Mm. If you manage to turn on absolute self-accountability and perspicacity inside of your own mind, you're now going to pay attention to everything around you and you're going to self-learn. And I've self-learned a few basic things which turn out to be true, I would argue, across all socioeconomic brackets. And the first one, and perhaps I'm wrong on this, but I seem to identify this terribly destructive thought pattern in people where they seem to believe that their enemies will have mercy on them at some point.
Right.
People seem to think that mercy is coming. Like a poor person sits there and goes, ah, the government's going to save me, or Trump's going to come and the stock market will go up, or maybe I can get a loan when the interest rates go down, or someone's going to give me something.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have mercy on me somewhere. My sob story is so unique and so interesting. It's so different to everyone else's. Maybe if I just sit and wait, someone will have mercy on me. Mm. Or they'll sit and go, well, my enemy will have mercy on me. The people who are destroying my country are just going to one day stop. They're just going to one day go, we're done with destroying the country. We're going to stop. Let me tell you something from personal experience. Your enemies never give you mercy. The people who lie about me are never going to stop lying. The idiots who believe it are never going to stop believing it. I'll beat every case. They'll still say it.
Yeah.
Asher D gets offered $10 million. He'll still sell me out. This is human nature. The government's still going to lie about me. The papers are still going to lie about me. They're never going to have mercy. So what am I going to do in that position? The only logical extension of that set of circumstance is to fight back with everything I have. That's all I can do, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't find any grit and they don't find any capability to fight against life's trouble because they believe that there's some knight in shining armor or some merciful gust of wind that is coming. And what did we say earlier about truth? You're more competitive if you look at your enemy understanding that they're never going to quit and they're never going to give up. Yeah. And they're never going to be fair. And they're never going to play ball. How unfair is what they've done to me? I've never been convicted.
Yeah.
Ever.
And the media.
I've never been convicted of any crime in my life.
Yeah.
So I could sit here and say it's not fair, wah, wah, wah. Or I could sit here and say, okay, they play dirty and they fucking cheat.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna fight back with everything I got. When I was fighting professionally, and I'd go to fight in other countries, France or Serbia or Russia, if you got low blowed three times, they took a point off. So that meant I got two low blows every single fight.
Yeah.
So they just kicked me in the balls twice. Yeah. Why? Because they can.
Right.
That's how the world works. So a lot of people, I agree, perhaps I'm dealing with it at a higher echelon because I have a higher reward for solving the issue. I get a lot more out of life if I fix it. But you can look at anybody at any socioeconomic point in the ladder, and if they stop feeling sorry for themselves and stop hoping for mercy from their enemy, stop hoping for quarter from the barbarians which are at the gate, they're going to do better and fix a lot of their problems and take absolute accountability like we talked about.
Yeah. Tell me about what happened when you went to America then, bro. Because when I saw you, I even texted you actually. When I saw you going to America, I was like, yes, my guy's going to the States. Yeah, yeah. Trump's in.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be wonderful.
Me too.
And then you got there and then suddenly it turned out that there was some problems. There was that guy in Florida that was saying, we're going to try and find stuff. And then you left, like, within a few days.
Yeah. I didn't leave because of that, jackass. I left because I was always intending to leave, and I had to return to Romania to sign.
Right.
So this
we
is
got what, it, though, when that happened.
Well, I was disappointed because I expected a hero's welcome.
So you're in Dubai at the moment. I think you're staying here for a bit, right?
I'll be around.
Yeah, you'll be around. Go back to Romania or not?
Yeah, I have to check in. I've got some judicial processes to complete, so I'll be going back to Romania. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about property for a minute, because we had a big debate about property when we last met, even though we're not a million miles away. Yeah. But here's something really interesting. Tell me if I'm wrong, but did you not have your Bitcoin taken from you, your bank closed, your cars taken from you, but your property, they couldn't do nothing?
No, you're wrong. They took my property too.
No, they didn't. You were in it. I saw you in it.
I was in it, but it was seized officially by the government. I couldn't sell it or transfer it.
Yeah, but you were still in it.
That's right. You're right. I was living in it. Yes. That's true.
Well, your cars were gone. Your Bitcoin was gone. Okay. So property has a certain element. Okay.
First things first.
You know I'm right.
Did they take my Bitcoin?
Yes. Well, they took some.
They took some Bitcoin from an exchange.
But they didn't take your property either. I bet you got loads of property. I know you personally have got loads of property that they didn't touch.
But let's imagine I had Bitcoin somewhere else. They didn't take that. They couldn't.
Yeah.
So they didn't manage to get hold of my Bitcoin, and they didn't manage to get hold of my property because they couldn't find it.
Yeah.
So those two things.
And the property they could find, you still were able to live in it.
I was able to live in it.
How shit would it have been if you'd have had to have been staying in a crappy little house?
Of course.
Couldn't take your mansion.
I could still live in it, but officially it was seized. I couldn't sell it or transfer it.
Right.
Because it was officially seized. Live in it. So they still took it, effectively.
Yeah, but not.
But really. I was living in it while I was on house arrest. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
And you had a bunch of houses that they
could. Listen, I was never truly anti-property. What I was is the same I am with most things, which was anti-government. Let's analyze this. If you bought a house in London 10 years ago,
yeah,
your contract with the government is that your taxes are not going to go up and the crime's not going to go up and the house is going to be worth a certain amount of money. But of course, the government has done nothing but run London into the ground, put your taxes up, and surround your house with fucking thieves.
Still gone up, though.
Of course, it's still gone up. And I'm not anti-property. What I'm saying
is... Yeah, I get it.
When you move to buy a house...
Bitcoin. I have millions in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah? So I think we're not a million miles away.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But these are the things you have to consider. My point is, when you look to buy a house, you have to sit and say, okay, if I'm going to have this house for, let's say, 10 to 15 years, what's the probability that the area I'm in is going to decline? Well, let's analyze the general trend of every single area in the UK across the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It's all a decline. So the area that this house is in is going to be worse. Is it going to be worth more? Maybe. Who knows?
It will be
But the area is going to be worse. That's nearly guaranteed. Will taxes go up? Nearly guaranteed, yes. Yeah. Will stamp duty or property tax or inheritance tax or any of these council tax, will all of these go up? Probably yes.
But you get around those.
Of course, but it's difficult to calculate.
I understand. I totally understand what you're saying. In terms of like money, like the Great British Pound,
yeah?
They're printing a lot. And we can see that like inflation has just gone through the roof.
Yep.
That's pushing the price of everything up.
How much is a Freddo nowadays? I've been in England a long time.
Oh, mate, I don't know how much it is. But I imagine it was like 5-10 pence when I was a kid. So
yeah,
I imagine same. 50, 60, 70 pence.
Probably, yeah.
I'm not really sure. Yeah. But here's the thing. You did a brilliant video once, and I was just like, man, this was like 30 seconds of pure, absolute genius. Like, that's how I run my business.
Yeah.
And the video was about, you were talking about how inflation is really bad unless you own stuff.
Of course.
You were talking about how they're printing loads of money.
Yep.
Therefore, the prices of stuff is going up.
Yep.
Therefore, if you take out debt and you use that debt to buy assets, what's going to happen is the debt's going to shrink, the assets are going to grow.
Yep.
And that's exactly how I get rich in my property business. Yep. And people don't get that. So could you maybe expand on that? Because I've got the 30-second video that I want people to see. I'll send that. I've shared that all around. But can you explain that more so people get it, especially given the current economic times of Great British Pounds crashing?
Absolutely. So basically the price of houses or assets or anything do not increase. The value of the money decreases.
Yes.
That's what effectively happens. When you buy a house for $100,000 and then you sell it later for $200,000, that house is not worth any more money. The value of the money has just gone down by 100%. The value's just gone down.
Well, it might have gone up a bit.
Yeah. So you're buying something which is an asset and it is inflating against the price of the price is going up against the local currency, whatever it is. But that's because the currency is on its way out. And that's very simple because they keep printing unlimited amounts of it.
Yeah.
So you're right. Adopting debt, ensuring that the interest you pay on the debt is less than the appreciation you're going to get on the asset is an easy way to get rich. It's true. Yeah. There are some economic Black Monday, there are some crazy things that can happen which can skew this. But effectively, the way you're describing to get rich is the way nearly everyone gets rich. It's using other people's money. It's buying an asset which is going to outpace the interest and outpace the inflation.
Yeah.
But this comes back into what I was originally saying earlier. This is why you have to be careful and make calculations based on the fact that I'm buying this house for the next 10 years. I've borrowed money to buy this house. I need to make sure this house is worth X to outpace the inflation and the interest.
But it's not hard.
Perhaps it's not. And maybe I am a pessimist. I will take that. Perhaps. But when I look at
an optimist of how badly they're going to crash money, I think the Great British Pound is absolutely finished.
So I bought a bunch of property in Dubai.
That's good.
But so I'm not anti-property. I'm saying that a nice apartment in London and a nice apartment in Dubai are the same thing. You're actually having to analyze all these outside factors.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do.
But the thing is, though, the cost of materials have gone up so much. So like wood and timber and bricks and mortar, everything's gone up a lot. Some of the north of England, you can't even build a house. Like, you can buy a house for 100 grand. It would cost 250 grand to build it.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that not just make sense to just buy it?
Of course it does.
Clearly going up.
Look, you should try and make money any way you can make it. And if you have a system that allows people to make a whole bunch of money from property, then I'm 100% for it.
Well, you know we do. And you know a lot of it is different. It's not just owning property as well.
Of course.
It's controlling property. It's packaging and selling.
Yep, absolutely. And the worst thing you can probably do in the world today is save money. I mean, to just sit on money is the most foolish thing a person does. Only poor people save money.
Yeah.
Poor people will say they'll save up 10 grand or 20 grand and they'll sit there for a rainy day. And you're going to sit there working your ass off for pound notes and putting them in a bank while the government prints them out of fucking thin air and deflates your currency.
Yeah.
You're an idiot because that money is losing value every single year. I remember when I was a teenager, 20 years ago, whatever, 10 grand meant something.
Yeah.
10 grand means nothing now.
Yeah.
10 grand is lunch
yeah.
in London. It's lunch. Like, what can you do with 10 grand? You can't buy a car. You can't buy a house. You can literally buy a jacket. Maybe a jacket and some shoes for yeah. 10 grand. Like, 10 grand is fuck all
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So money's losing value rapidly. And what's going to be left is, as you described about me living in my house, what's going to be left instead of the money are things that matter, real things. Mm. Food matters, shelter matters, real things matter.
Yeah.
So yes, I understand there's a lot of money that can be made in property. I just have this very pessimistic view of,
I get that.
Of the British state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the only problem that
But you're
going to
come
has,
back and be the PM, bro. When and then the properties are going to boom again.
When I'm PM, buy property.
Yeah.
Because you can trust
me. It's
too
late, man. It's too late then, though.
You can trust me.
It's too late.
But can we trust these clowns? But yeah, it's an interesting economic situation we're in, and it's unprecedented because truthfully,
it is.
AI is coming. People are going to start losing their jobs. These tariffs have happened now. Trump's come along, which is a recent development. And I'll be honest, I've been doing a lot of research. Even I haven't come to the conclusion whether they're a good or a bad thing. Even I don't know.
Yeah,
it's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's a very complicated thing. So the whole world's changing in a way that never before. All the Western nations that people used to consider safe investments have now been deemed, for a lot of people, risky investments. A lot of things are changing all of the time. England, they'll lock you up for talking. So do you want a house there, really? I don't know. I mean, everyone's flooding the money to Dubai. We have this one city where all the world's millionaires are throwing money in. I bought a house here 3 years ago, and it's doubled.
Wow.
In 3 years.
That's incredible. It's in Dubai?
In Dubai, yeah.
So you bought a house while you're on house arrest?
No. It was about 2 months before I went to jail.
Wow.
2 months before I went to jail, and it's doubled. So, but why is that? Because all the Russian money, all the Ukrainian money, all the Singaporean money, all the English money, all the German money, all the world's money is coming to
one city. Bro, when you were in prison, there was a lot of people praying that you get out.
Well, it looked like it worked.
There was a lot of people praying for you.
Well,
and I think you as well, I think you see a lot of stuff online in the media. If you Google your name under the news section, it's all bad.
Of course.
But in reality, I think, you know, certainly in Britain, the people that I speak with, you know, I think you're very, very held very high regard. People respect what you're doing.
I've never had a negative interaction in person in my life.
And a lot of what you said in our last podcast that we did a few years ago, because can you believe this is our third... It's mad.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But a lot of what you said in the early days has kind of come true. A lot of the stuff you said would happen, it's happened or it's happening. And people can see that. And that's what I wanted to get you back on. Where do you see the next 2-3 years in terms of business, entrepreneurship?
Here's where we go. That's right. Because the art of making money is predicting the future. That is the art of making money. Tomorrow's news is what pays you. If you knew tomorrow's news, you'd be a trillionaire.
Yeah.
If you could read tomorrow's newspaper, right? So the art of making money is predicting the future. Buying a house is predicting the future. About this is a nice area, a nice school, whatever. Buying a house is. Buying Bitcoin is predicting the future. Starting a business is predicting the future. In 3 weeks, people are going to want to buy coffee from here. You have to be able to predict the future. It's getting more and more difficult to accurately predict the future because we're living in such a chaotic timeline now.
Yeah.
With so many disruptors.
Yeah.
Cryptocurrency is a disruptor to the global system of finance. AI is a global disruptor on nearly every level you can possibly fathom.
Mm.
These tariffs are a global disruptor. Once again, this has changed the game and changed the world in a way that I'm struggling to calculate. Let me explain why I'm trying to analyze whether these tariffs are good or bad, and I'm struggling. Because China is the primary producer, and America and China now have this problem, and America is saying, we're going to put a tariff on your imported goods so that people open their factories inside of America so there's no tariff applied to the good. So if we have to make these cups, instead of having a cup factory in China, because there's tariffs on the product, which makes them expensive to import, we're going to open a cup factory in America. So when the cup's made, there's no tax on top of it, which makes it cheaper to bring jobs home. Problem is, China owns the verticals of the entire production process. So if we bring the cup factory back to America, but the porcelain is still made in China, and they put a tariff on the porcelain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now we're just assembling the raw materials
and
we're still paying the tariff. And now everything's more expensive than it was. There are more jobs in America, but none of the actual cost has been fixed.
Yeah.
And it's that way with lots of things, especially with China, with like pharmaceuticals or electric vehicles. I know we have Tesla and Elon, or certain types of electronics and certain things they do. The Chinese, they own everything from the cobalt coming out of the ground and the uranium coming out of the ground in the Central African Republic, because they own that government, all the way up to all the processing elements, all the way up to the actual final construction. So us coming along with a factory and trying to do the final construction, it's like IKEA.
Yeah.
We want to take the IKEA tables and put them together, but they own the wood.
Yeah.
So it's actually really complicated.
Yeah, it is.
So you add in AI, you add in the fact that we're basically in World War III between Russia and Ukraine, you add in the fact that the Western European governments have become communistic shitholes, you add in the fact that cryptocurrency is here, which a lot of people believed after Trump came in and made a strategic Bitcoin reserve would be up to $400,000 or $500,000 a coin. It crashed today to $75,000. Why? I don't fucking know. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Everything's fucked.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there going, well, I have to predict the future. What allows me to compete and predict the future because everything's so chaotic? The only thing I can predict is that I'm going to work harder than everyone else. Mm. I'm going to get up earlier than everyone else. I'm going to pay more attention than everybody else. Yeah. I'm going to research harder than everyone else. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to dedicate myself. I'm going to find some fucking money. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. So that's right now, it's almost like go 100% in on yourself season because you can't even, and I'll apply this to what I do. Maybe it applies to you also. Going all in on Bitcoin might backfire. Going all in on property might backfire. But going all in on yourself will never backfire.
Right. Agreed.
So my mentality currently is I just need to make sure I'm my absolute best self all of the time and I am permanently motivated to do whatever it takes to win. And I'm the most adaptable. Darwin said, it's the most adaptable of the species that survives. It's not the biggest. It's not the strongest. It's the one that identifies that the forest is disappearing quickest and grows a new fucking, grows some fins and jumps in the ocean.
Yeah.
So it's adaptability season now. Here's the thing that's interesting. I, as a man with enough money to never work again for the rest of his life, am spending my days consciously searching and actively planning and trying to identify trends and new ways to make money and new patterns to make sure that I'm not caught last when things do finally shift or change. But a brokey with no money at all doesn't bother.
Yeah.
You're going to be last and you're going to get crushed.
I think I see a lot of people that are worrying about where to invest their money. Should I invest it in Bitcoin or property? And it's like, you don't have any money.
Yeah.
You've got £10,000. Yeah. What you need to do is you need to learn how to start a business.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you need to learn how to have the skills of sales, marketing.
Yep.
You need to learn to make money.
That's right.
And then you can worry about where do you invest it? How do you divide?
Do you know why people love the idea of investment?
Because they're lazy.
People think, if I invest, I'm smart. No, if you invest, you're lazy because you want your money. We all want our money to work for us.
Yeah, and
of course, of course. But I work for my money, and my money works for me too. Right. I do both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you only want your money to work for you, you're doing that, so you don't work.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, I've got 20 grand. If I just give this 20 grand, how do I invest it so I can sit around doing fuck all? Yeah. You can't.
No, you can't.
You can't. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So you have to do the work yourself. Investment is this lazy man's dream. Your primary objective should be finding a way to constantly bring more money in all the time. When you're bringing money in all the time, you can afford a mistake.
Yeah.
You can afford a loss.
You need both. You need fast pound and slow pound.
You need trading
income, and then you need active wealth building, passive income.
Absolutely.
In terms of like owning property, because I know you own a lot of property.
Yeah.
Do you think it's easier for them to take it off you? Because I've got property in trusts, I've got property in pensions, all kinds of different stuff. But most people have either got it in their personal name or their company name.
Yeah.
From your experience you may have in this, is it easier for people, for the government to take property off of you if you own it in a company or personally?
Yes, putting it in a company name or putting it in your personal name, to be honest with you, they'll get either of those.
You don't think it makes much difference?
It makes a bit of difference. A company is certainly safer than a personal name, but a trust is what you want.
See, I think a personal name, and I might be wrong, because they've never tried to take my properties off me, but personal name is a little bit more anonymous, no? Because on a company, you can just search it. See, I don't love owning my properties. Yeah. I like trust, I like pensions, I like personal. I've got a bunch of my companies. It's very easy to find.
Yeah, but the problem is, depending on the level of matrix attack you suffer from, but I noticed this, and I spoke to some, in fact, last night, I won't say his name, I was with a billionaire who recently was in jail, same as me, and he had the exact same thing as I do. And here's what happens when you get truly attacked by the government. No matter what you're accused of, no matter what it is, they add on money laundering. And they add that on because it allows them to have an unlimited seizure of all assets and goods that you're associated with, whether you're the director of a company, whether they're in your name, whether they're whatever it is.
Right.
So let's say they were to come along and say, you're money laundering. They'd say, Samuel has these big events and it's a pound a show and he only declared 500 pounds because he said 500 people came, but we think 504 people came and he laundered 4 pounds and he's a money launderer. They'll put that on the paperwork and a judge will stamp it and they will take every single thing in your name, every single company you want, they'll fucking seize the law of it, all of it.
Yeah.
Trust is more complicated for them to do. So if you're going to do it properly, you want to do it with a trust. But a lot of these things then come down to, and I talk about things quite philosophically as opposed to the nitty-gritty of it because those individual scenarios are different. But philosophically, a lot of these things come down to, when I describe these scenarios, people go, ah, but that won't happen to me.
Yeah.
That's how people think. They're like, I buy the house in my name. That won't happen to me. Or a lot of people can only achieve financing for the house in their name. So they have no choice. It's difficult to do it through a trust. Where are they going to get the money from?
Yeah.
You have cash.
Yeah.
I have cash. I can buy a house for $20 million and under a Cayman Islands trust.
Right. I've got companies all over the
British all over the world. Yeah. I can do that. But if I'm trying to achieve a mortgage in my name and showing my bank statements, it's a lot harder. But that leaves you very susceptible. Very susceptible to the matrix and the system. Let's imagine you buy a house in your name, you get a loan, you have a mortgage, you're paying it off, it's a 20-year mortgage, you're 7 years in, and then your job tells you that you have to wear a mask and get this experimental vaccine, otherwise you're going to be fired. And if you're fired, you can't pay for the house that you've dedicated 7 years of your life to, and the house can't move, and you can't move, and you're stuck there. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You become a slave. You're going to obey. Yeah. This is what's going to happen. So, I mean, Bitcoin, I guess you could say you don't have that problem, but a lot of the calculations involved when it comes to buying a house or all of these things come down to people saying, ah, but that won't happen to me. The government won't do that to me. I'm law abiding.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. I'm law abiding. And I think there's an important mental shift you need to make, everybody, including you, sir. This is my advice to you as a friend.
No. Yeah.
If you piss them off enough, you're not law abiding. You piss them off enough, they will lie and say that you broke a law. So there's no such thing as law abiding when they can lie anytime they want.
Right.
When they can just fucking make it up. And the burden of proof is on you. If they were to say to you right now, Samuel is a money launderer. This man committed suicide after losing his money in Samuel's program. And he's a scammer. And he's a terrible person. And put it all over the news and marched you around in handcuffs. It's down to you to now convince 60 million people that they've lied.
Yeah,
and I can tell you from personal experience, it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Now imagine doing that when they've taken all your money, all your cars, all your houses, every bank, you have nothing. They're like, ah, go. You can't even hire a fucking lawyer. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they do it to destroy you. And people sit there and go, ah, but I follow the law. Let me ask everyone in this room a question. You all say, I'd argue everyone says they follow the law, yes?
Yeah.
Have you read the law?
Yep.
You've read all of it?
Well, I'm a student of the law.
Okay, so you're a lawyer.
I'm studying the law.
Okay.
Heavily.
But had you read all of the law?
Not every single thing, no.
Because my lawyer needs to look up the law, and he's a king's counsel,
and
he has to look up the law. So the lawyers don't know the law.
Yeah, it's
you haven't read the law. You haven't read the law. You haven't read it. I haven't fucking read it. So how are we going to obey a law laws we haven't even fucking read? You don't even know what it says. So when you sit down in the police interview and they say, ah, you've broken this law, Malicious Communications Act, because on WhatsApp, you forwarded a video of a Marine in Iraq who shot a Taliban guy, and you thought it was funny, and you sent it, and law, charges. You're like, what the fuck? I've been there when I'm getting, they're talking about charges. I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Yeah.
My lawyer's like, I have to look it up.
Fuck right. No, of course you do.
Let me ask another question. Let's imagine you had read the law. Every single day, what do? Do they add laws or take them away? They don't ever take a law away. They've got the same laws from the 1600s. So every day they add more. Are you going to read the law every fucking day? So every single person is a criminal. It just depends if they want to get you or not. If you piss them off, they go, ah, he's annoyed us. Here's our book of laws he's never read. Here you go, Mr. Prosecutor. Mr. Prosecutor, here's a nice big Bible of laws. He's never read any of them. Oh. It's your job to fuck him. He'll flick through. He'll flick through. And then what he'll do.
But this is the important part. No, I'm serious.
When he chooses his laws to fuck you with.
Yeah.
Then he goes back, calls the BBC, and calls the newspapers and says, we're about to fuck Samuel with this and this and this. Let's make something up. We're about to fuck Samuel with speeding, whatever it is. Then the papers start showing you in your Range Rover. Boom, your Range Rover. And his mission. Samuel Leeds, millionaire, eccentric millionaire, drives recklessly. It'll be all the papers. What the fuck's going on? Boom. Before you know it, they bust in your door. You speed. And they fucking shoot you dead. And it's scary. So you have to now, as an intelligent person, you have two choices. You either go all in on a government you believe in.
Yeah.
Like I believe in the Dubai government more than I believe in the Western governments. Or you try and decentralize. And have property here, property there, different trusts.
Yeah.
Then try and spread it all out.
Yeah.
But once you do that, Then you become the worst enemy to the little dipshit Gary, because now you've spread out all your fucking assets and all your money, and that little cuck comes along begging for you to take a dildo like he does, and you're like, fuck you, I'm not giving you half my money. Because this government, only reason I had to spread it out like this in the first place is because this government's fucking corrupt.
Yeah.
So it's complicated.
It is complicated. I think what you're saying is true to a point. I think it's quite, but why do you think I'm studying the law, bro?
Well, you're preparing for war, and that's very smart of you. But let me ask you something. Has a king at any point in history ever not needed to defend his kingdom?
No.
So the bigger and more powerful your kingdom becomes, the war becomes certain.
Right.
So my only prayers for you as a friend is that somehow you manage to skirt the line of monumental success without ever pissing them off too much. But I have a strong feeling on a long enough time frame, if you continue to be monumentally successful like you are, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're going to get pissed off at you. And then you're going to sit and say, that Andrew Tate motherfucker.
No, I'll ring you up, bro.
9 years ago. He told me 9 fucking years ago. And they're talking about some law that...
It's scary because you did predict the future in the last podcast. So, mate, if that happens, I'll be phoning you up.
Your ability to speak freely is directly correlated to your insignificance. This is important.
It's true.
This is the first thing. The second thing, and this is also very important, they always want to have a gatekeeper over people who are freeing others from the matrix or freeing minds to some degree. They want you to have a boss of some sorts. Most people, you're quite a unique person. You're like me. You are your own channel. You do your own thing. It's your own company. You follow the law. You're yourself. It's completely you. The most they could do to try and damage you, which they haven't done yet, so you have a few lives left, is try and remove your YouTube channel. But you'd get around that. You're smart. You'd get 4 or 5 other guys. You'd hire them. They'd be the void. They'd get people into the seminar. You'd continue anyway.
Yeah.
Let's say you're starting a movement. Enough people are coming. Whatever. Let's say they identify for some reason they don't like what you're doing. They're going to sit and go, well, who's his manager? Let's tell his manager to shop. He hasn't got a manager. Well, who's his agent? He hasn't got an agent. Who's his boss? He ain't got a boss.
Who his sponsors? None.
Yeah. So then what do? They come to the legal system. Mm. Most people, if you're an athlete, if you piss them off, you're off the team. If you're a singer, you piss them off, you're not on the label. If you're an actor, if you're Asher D, you have to agree that Andrew Tate is bad when him and I both know we grew up on the same streets. We grew up on the same streets with the same life. I don't fucking hold anything against him for his past with firearms because I know that life because I grew up in it. But he's sitting there pretending I'm a bad person because he has to take the contract. He has to get paid. He has a lot of kids. He has 7 kids or something to pay. So I'm not even mad at the guy. I understand it. But he has an agent. So he has to cuck to his agent. Everyone has to, right? Yeah. There's gatekeepers the whole way around.
Yeah.
Except, but if you're a person like you or me, if you're self-made and you're making people think for themselves and you're highlighting all the problems with the system and you're self-made and you come out of nowhere, they're going to try and get rid of you. Which is why Gary is a fucking agent of the Matrix. Because he pops up out of fucking nowhere and they keep putting him on the TV begging for him to convince us to put our taxes up. Right. He is fucking hired. He may not even know he's hired. He's such an idiot. He may think that people want to listen to him with his annoying voice, fucking weed smoking, little skinny rat. He may sit there and go, I have ideas and people like them and that's why they put me on the TV. No, you're a moron and they need you to spread moron ideas so they can steal from us, so they put the moron, they wheel the moron to the front. You're a fucking dumbass.
His book is completely nonsense.
He doesn't even realize he's being used.
Yeah, yeah.
He does. It's like a girl at a party. Yeah. And everyone's grabbing her tits. And she's like, they all like me. No, you're just a fucking slut, bro. You're just an idiot.
Because he's promoting the message that the government want.
To put more fucking taxes on us all. Yeah. And we should be happy to pay them.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. So a lot of this kind of things, it's kind of interesting. When I was poor, I just wanted to get rich. I didn't want to be political. I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I wanted a Ferrari and a diamond Patek and a big penthouse. I just wanted to get rich. And then you start to get rich and you realize, shit, it's all just power games. It's all just mafia. At the bottom, you have drug dealers and turf and murder and unfair setups and lies over drugs and money. And at the top, it's the same shit for fucking stocks and bonds, bro.
Yeah,
it's the same mafia, same gangsters, same liars, same cheaters. It's amazing to me that people in the middle don't even get this. If you say to a person in the middle, average person, you say, look, why do we have a referee in a football game? They'll say, well, if you don't have a referee, people will cheat. So yes, so we agree. You need a referee in a football game. because people will cheat.
Yeah.
And if they cheat, they're going to win the football game. They're going to have more goals. And what's the reward for that? Fuck all. You're telling me people are so desperate to cheat that you need a referee in a football game and they're not going to be desperate to cheat an election? To run a country?
Mm.
Or cheat a bank? To steal the billions of dollars? Or cheat on the news? To psyop a population? Or cheat on adolescents to replace the native British? You think they'll cheat in a fucking football game, but they won't cheat with things that matter?
Yeah.
Are you an idiot? It's all a scam. Yeah. It's all a cheat. All they do is fucking lie. All of it's ever been a lie, all of the time. Your primary objective is to get rich to protect yourself. You can move. You don't want to, but you could.
Yeah, of course.
Most people can't.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your primary objective. But if you get too rich, you end up getting political anyway. Because it's just like, okay, well, I've got some money now. It's ice cubes. It's melting. I want to put it somewhere. Where the fuck do I put my money?
Yeah.
It's like, what do I do with it?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just leave millions in a bank. Because if you do, they'll seize it.
I think my thoughts are, first thing, is like what you've said, and we'll wrap up in a couple of minutes, because I know we've got meetings and stuff, but is learn how to make money.
Learn
how to get money.
No, the first thing you should do, and I'm not being anti that at all, you're completely correct, sir.
Yeah.
You need to get money, because money is adaptability. What did we say earlier? Adaptability allows you to be the most likely to survive.
Yeah.
What even is money? Money is the stored time and energy of other people.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
If you have a 20-pound note, you have the stored time and energy of someone else, because you can get someone to sweep the floor for that 20-pound note.
Yeah.
You can get other people to do your bidding. That's what money is.
Yeah.
Money is stored time and energy of other people. So if you want to escape somewhere, or if you want to do something and you want other people's help, you're going to need money.
Yeah.
So despite all of these political problems, despite all of this persecution I've talked about, despite the lawfare, despite the cheating of the system, despite Gary and his dildo, despite all this shit, the bottom line is, you should be trying to get rich urgently.
Yeah.
What amazes me is that people don't feel the urgency.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like in your courses, but some people are like, yeah, I'd like to be rich one day. When I was poor, I wanted to be rich today.
Now, there's a lot of that, a lot of drive.
Yeah, good. Fantastic.
A lot of drive. And you're, I'll tell you an interesting story as well. So there was a guy who I was working with closely.
Yeah.
His name's Elijah. Shout out Elijah.
Yeah.
Spent a week with him. He's Muslim.
Yeah.
My I can't call it bank,
yeah.
But Samuel leads finance,
yeah.
Loaned him a bunch of money. Because he's Muslim, we did it legit with halal and everything like that. He went on, he was making nothing. Now he's doing about 15, 20 grand a month, really successful. And he said to me, I said, where did you first hear about me? How did we get connected? He goes, Andrew Tate.
Amazing.
So he saw the interview. It's one of loads, man.
Amazing.
That's why I think, and your messaging around how to make money,
yeah.
It's huge. The urgency,
yep.
The value, the sales, the skills, the marketing, affiliate.
Yep. Yep.
People market your stuff, make loads of money off the back of it. I've met them. I know it. Then I think my opinion is, once you make money, invest it. Don't worry about trusts and stuff straight away.
Yeah, yeah. Because
if you're making money and you've got 50 grand, 80 grand, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to set up a trust and I'm going to, it's too expensive.
That's
it's
right.
Not happening.
Yeah.
Start buying, whether it be personal, company. Don't stress too much about the government taking everything.
At the beginning, you don't have these problems. You're right.
Yeah.
But bro party's coming in
it's
10
coming.
Years.
Bro
anyway,
party is coming.
Yeah, right.
And then once you've got a few properties, or you've got a bit of Bitcoin, a bit of this, then start thinking, okay, now how do I structure this in such a way? That's generally, and I think we probably would generally agree on that.
100%.
On that front.
100%.
Meanwhile, get fit, stay strong.
100%.
Don't be a pussy.
100%.
Don't let people cancel you or tell you what to say.
100%. Absolute self-accountability.
Resist the slave mind, as you would say.
100%.
Escape the matrix.
100%. It's exactly what you have to do. You nailed it. And it's a sense of urgency and the ability to constantly be searching for the avenue or the capability or doing whatever it takes to make money that exact day.
You'd be shocked, man. If you came back to UK now, I know you wouldn't be able to because of the government and all the messed up stuff. You'd be shocked, man. How many people, I think you've changed a lot of culture within the entrepreneurship space. I love doing podcasts with you as well because you're just the best person to sit. You know what I mean? Like, we'd sit for a drink anyway. May as well record it. And this is it. Why do you keep saying yes to me, bro? Third time.
You're good to talk to, man. You're great to talk to. And I've seen some of the stuff you do. I'm a huge fan of it. I know you're helping people. You're helping people make money. And I think that's a fantastic thing. There's a lot of good karma that goes out there in the world from helping people. And, you know, there's a lot of idiots who may say bad things about me. But I know there's hundreds of thousands of people who I've helped motivate and hundreds of thousands of people I've helped pay their bills.
Hey,
hundreds of thousands of families that you and I have helped feed.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of good karma. That's a lot of positive energy. And that's going to come back in the end. And I actually also like that we have very different business models. They do different things. Like, you have live in-person events and deal with property. I have an online university that primarily is dealing with digital assets and making money online. But both of them work. And really, it's down to you as an individual. If you're a person who wakes up and you're prepared to work, it's amazing. You can use a fork or a spoon. You're gonna eat. All you have to do is pick it up and get to work.
Or both. I've got two fire questions, and then we'll wrap up.
Sure.
And one of them is about the internet, and one of them is about children.
Sure.
So the one about children is, I've now got four kids.
Congratulations.
And I recently pulled them all out of school, and I wanted them to resist the slave mind.
100%.
I didn't want them to be raised by the state.
Yep.
I didn't want them to be brainwashed by the government and brainwashed to be employees.
Yep.
I couldn't stand it. Every time I'd go to parents' evening, even though the schools were good people, I felt the oppressive environment.
Yep.
And I pulled them all out. And now they're home educated.
Amazing.
We've hired a couple full-time teachers. That's what I do. What advice would you give? What's the best thing to do with kids? Do you send them to a private state? For you, it might be different. You got a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of money.
Yeah.
But for the average entrepreneur who's working maybe in Britain or wherever, how do you get around this issue? Or do you keep them in the school, but protest and what are you saying about that?
It's very difficult. And the stranglehold they have on the education system is one of the ways they manage to infect so many people's minds with these poisonous ideologies so young. That's the reason I have university.com. We bought that domain now. That's the reason I have my school.
I'd buy that off you, bro.
Worth a lot. I've got university.com. That we offer an alternative to traditional education. So instead of going to high school or college or wasting money on a university degree, for $50, you can join university.com and you'll make money the same month.
Yeah, nice.
As opposed to a four-year degree or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's extremely difficult. It's not easy to do. My children, I'm in a fortunate scenario, but I've done the same thing as you.
Yeah.
I actually allow the girls to go to school, but they go to like a theater ballet school. It's more just running around and enjoying themselves. And as long as they do a lot of extracurricular activities, they're happy. The sons, they play chess, they do judo, they do karate, they do boxing. By the time that's all done every day, that's enough education. I believe a man learns enough about life getting his ass kicked and playing chess and having a strict father than he ever will in a shitty school.
Yeah.
The internet teaches everything school used to matter a lot more before the internet. There's not a single person now who needs to know a fact who can't get the phone out of the pocket.
Right.
So what, you know, like, it's kind of weird. What are they? Yeah. I kind of wonder, maybe even know more than me, what are kids learning nowadays? Because I remember back to what I used to learn, and I was saying, well, they don't learn those things anymore because all the information is on a phone. You don't need math because the calculator is on your phone. ChatGPT writes everything for you. Like, what are they even learning? I don't know what you're even doing in school.
I know what my kids are learning, but they're home educated.
That's right.
That's the point.
That's right.
It's difficult to know what they're learning.
So what are they learning? Or are they just being socially conditioned to perma-fail and
watching
repeat propaganda?
That's what they'll be doing.
And watch adolescence and repeat propaganda. So your children are being psyoped and brainwashed. If I had to give a true answer, if I was an average income family of some sort, I think the most important interpersonal skills that the social skills that a young man can learn gives him the best possible chance of succeeding in life. If he's likable, if he's confident, if he can stand on a stage and sell, if he's confident within himself, I think that matters a lot more than any fucking garbage they're going to teach him at school. Yeah. So I think that it's the extracurricular activities and the things he does outside of school that's going to make the man.
Yeah.
Fighting made me. It doesn't have to be fighting. It has to be something. But I think that putting a man through some stress and putting him through some tests and allow him to prove his worth and get him confident, he'll be okay anyway. So I'm not a fan of the traditional education system. I think it's actually a complete scam through and through. I think it failed long ago. You know, I'll give you a simple test. If you're a parent watching this, test something. Next time your kids go to school, when they come home, say, what did you learn today? And you know what the kid will say? Nothing.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say. They'll tell you. And you go, no. Tell me something you learned today. And they'll say, well, I went to math. Okay, that's fine. What did you learn today? Show me the math equation you did. What did you learn today? They can't answer.
Yeah.
The kid can't answer it. So you have days of nothing compounded into one big nothing. So the most important lessons children are learning in school actually come from their friendship groups.
Yeah.
Whether they're getting bullied, whether they're getting picked on, sociodynamics, how to talk to girls. That's what you're learning in school now.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, why don't you just cut out the propaganda and bullshit and put your kid into extracurricular activities? Why don't you put him in a boxing gym? Put him in a debate class. Put him in a speaking event. Why don't you do all those things? He still learns to get along with everybody. You get to get rid of all the fucking social bullshit programming they're trying to put into your kid's mind. And you get to have more control over what your child's learning.
That's exactly what we do, bro. Even the girls doing the boxing. Yeah. And then they're learning the basic maths, English, and whatnot. Yeah. I think people just need to get wealthy and just need to pull their kids out of school.
Well, this is the thing. If you're a man and you've watched this entire podcast and you do not take action and either go to my program or Samuel's or any other program, if you do not finish this podcast and decide to do something to make your life better than what it currently is, your love doesn't mean anything for your fucking kids. This is what's so amazing to me about broke people.
Wow.
I love my kids, but you don't love your kids enough to save them from being brainwashed.
Wow.
Because you don't love them enough to get wealthy enough to take them out of that school, which is convincing them to be brainwashed. Your children are walking to school amongst other kids who carry knives. You're risking your kid's life because you can't put them in a better school because you don't want to try hard. So what does your love even mean? As a man, your love only has value if you have capability. When a capable man says, I love you, that matters. When a loser man or a weak man or a lazy man says, I love you, it means nothing because he can't do anything with the love.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you love your kids if they're walking to school amongst fucking killers and being psyoped. Your love is empty. Women know this intrinsically. This is why when a loser says to a girl, I love you so much, she's like, I don't care, because she knows you can't help her. You can't improve her life. You can't protect her. Yeah. When a winner says, I love you, she feels it.
Yeah.
Women know this intrinsically. So it's amazing to me that men will sit here. They'll ignore all the advice we've given. They'll take some time to leave a comment and say that I'm a bad person or that you're a bad person. And they'll go back to say, well, I love my kids, and not even fucking try hard enough to save their children from eternal slavery. You're allowing your bloodline to be bestowed with parasitic mind virus because you don't want to try. And then you want to sit there and say, oh, but I love my kids. No, you don't. If you're a brokey and you're not trying to escape, you don't even fucking love anybody. You don't even love yourself.
Yeah.
That's the level it's reached now at this point where the world's so fucked. When I see a person of 40 years of age with no money and no drive, and he goes, oh, I really want to make it out. I was like, you don't give a shit about your family. You don't give a shit about your last name. You don't give a shit about yourself. You don't give a shit about anybody. You're a fucking scumbag. It's reached that point now. When I see somebody who's not trying, I don't like them. It's not about whether you've made it or not. When I meet people who don't try, I don't even like them. I'm like, what do you mean you're not trying? Oh, yeah, you know, I don't like you. Because I'm a trier. We have different life philosophies. We look at the world completely differently. I say the sky is blue. You say the sky is green. I can't get along with you. We can't correlate.
Yeah.
I'm a trier. You're refusing to try. Your entire worldview, the way you see events, the way you see scenarios is so alien and foreign to me. I can't even sit here. We don't speak the same language. You're speaking Uzbek to me. I don't know what you're fucking talking about.
Yeah.
I don't like those people. Because those people, every time I've ever tried to give them a chance, has done nothing but drag me down. I can't drag them up, but they can drag me down.
Right.
Somehow.
Right.
I can't get them anywhere, but they manage to anchor me. So I don't like those people.
Yeah.
So if you're a full-grown man, and you're watching this, and you do not have the capability to take your entire family and move to Tokyo tomorrow, for whatever reason, if you don't have that kind of finance or capability, you take a long, hard look in the mirror and say, what the fuck does my love even mean?
Yeah.
What kind of man, what kind of head of the family even am I? I can say I love my wife all day long. I can say I love my kids all day long. What does that even mean if I'm not going to finish work and take an extra hour out of my day to try something new to escape the fucking matrix before all of this crumbles?
Yeah.
Your love means nothing if you don't try.
Damn, bro, that hit deep, man.
But it's true.
It is true, and that's the point. And I think we're in the last cycle. You know, the stuff you're saying now, people will look back on in 20, 30 years to come, and they'll say, man, why didn't more people listen? Why didn't...
When AI becomes prevalent, what's so interesting about AI, people talk about how AI is going to replace people's jobs, etc. I can guess, and it is a guess, but it's quite an educated one, that when AI becomes prevalent, all it's going to do is make the poor poorer and the rich richer.
Yeah.
Like everything else.
Yeah.
Everything else that's come along has made the poor poorer
and
the rich richer. And I think the people who are hardworking and industrious and already have some assets and already rich and already paying attention and already have access to other smart people who have AI companies are going to become richer than ever before. And the poor people sitting on their fucking ass jerking off are going to be poorer than ever before.
Yeah.
So the wealth divide is going to increase.
Yeah.
The gap is going to become insurmountable. Now you can probably jump from one side to the other. It's going to become such a large gap.
Yeah.
It's going to be nearly impossible. It's going to be have-nots and have-yachts.
Yeah.
That's the end of it. That's
everyone
what's going to happen.
Everyone knows that.
Even
Gary Economics would agree with that. Exactly, 100%.
So you have to get rich now. This is why I don't understand. I lack motivation. But you don't have time.
Yeah.
You don't have time. You have to get rich now. Like today.
Yeah.
People seem to think they have time. They seem to think that it's going to be fine if they try later or next week or 1 year or let me save a little bit.
And buy stuff now. Buy assets now.
100%.
Because no matter what you say about the UK, and I get it, but people are coming in
from Hong Kong.
Yeah, of course.
From Dubai.
Of course.
The people in Dubai are dumping money into the UK.
Of course.
So I'm thinking that this is the BlackRock, Lloyds Bank, billions of pounds.
There's money to be made in fucking Iraq. There's money to be made anywhere if you're industrious and if you're paying attention. So yeah.
Internet question is this. Internet is going down, in my opinion. I think that they're going to switch the internet off. I think that's going to be the next big... You know, the World Economic Forum predicted the COVID pandemic before it happened. Now they're talking about, oh, it's inevitable that at some point there could be a bug or something. So that's huge.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen. I think that we need to do a live event, bro.
That would be amazing. That'd be like my internet. First ever one.
We have to do something in Dubai at some point. Okay. So watch this space. Me and Andrew are going to be talking about that.
Amazing.
But do you have an opinion on what would happen if they did switch off the internet in terms of being an entrepreneur?
That would be monumental for even not just being an entrepreneur, but for basic societal function. That would be monumental.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not beyond the realms of possibility, because the internet is what they fear, because they cannot completely control information or ideas, because it's the control of information that allow them to keep people in this sleep dream world that keep them paying taxes till they walk into the grave. And then their children get robbed of all the money they ever saved with inheritance tax anyway. So, yeah, if they turn the internet off, the world's in a lot of trouble. But how do you plan for that? Well, I guess you decentralize. You have assets in lots of places, lots of hidden Bitcoin, lots of different houses, and know lots of people who are very important and influential. I guess that's the best thing you can do, and have absolute self-accountability. But it would be a very difficult and strange world if the internet got turned off.
So I think that's kind of
scary thought.
It is a scary thought, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it would have been a scary thought, locking everybody in the house, COVID. That would have been crazy. I think that the next thing is going to be, I think they'll switch off.
Let me blow your mind for a second. If you guys want to lose a lot of faith in humanity, I'll give you something to do.
Oh, great.
Why not?
Why not?
You're not like me. I can't get any more depressed or negative, because I'm at the bottom. I'm happy at the bottom, but I'm like at the bottom of the ocean. You know, it's like I'm chill down there. I like it. I've lost faith in everything. Read on Wikipedia about the COVID pandemic.
Mm.
And it makes it sound like zombie apocalypse.
Mm.
Imagine you never lived through the COVID pandemic. You never saw it. And you just read about it, about people being locked in their houses and this many deaths. And this vaccine came out and vaccine deniers stopped people from getting the vaccine, which increased the deaths. And people were dying and emergency hospitals were built in 3 days. And da da da. And you're reading about it. It sounds like fucking World War V. It sounds like a complete apocalypse. You're imagining it like you imagine those post-apocalyptic movies.
Yeah.
And you're reading it. And I'm reading it. And I'm thinking, I remember COVID. It was perfectly fucking fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It was normal. I drove around. Everyone was outside of McDonald's. I didn't even wear a mask. I told them to fuck off. It was fine.
Yeah.
But when you read about it, it sounds so scary.
That's interesting.
So imagine all the history we've ever been taught.
All these events.
All these things we're supposed to know about. All these different versions of reality. All these events. This happened, that happened. All of it's a fucking scam.
Mm.
When you read about COVID, you're going to realize that nothing we even understand about the world is real. And perhaps this is the perfect full circle. How do you predict the future if you don't know the past? Well, I guess you can't. How do you live in the present when all the media and everything around you is nothing but lies and deception? Once again, it's difficult. So the best thing you can do is take absolute self-accountability, blame yourself for everything, and get rich as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah. Andrew, you're a legend.
I really
appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you, bro.
Have to do it again.
100%. Let's do number four. Let's do it, yeah.
Absolutely. And we need to spar some time as well, bro, because I've been training.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, sir.
Brother.
Thank you, G.
Thank you so much.